Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
G&D brought to you by our friends, the law firm Condorian Murad. They're going to help you to update your will and testament, set up a trust, get your family squared away. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting camlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We are hitting the road with our guys. We'll be in Cincinnati for the Bengals and the Commanders. Monday Night Football will be in the crowd, sitting with the people. Danny, I know you like to be in your basement on your couch.
That's right.
And you know I like to be press box Paulson. I like to put on some slacks, tuck in a shirt, sit in the press box. We will be sitting among
the people.
The local Ohioans.
Ohioans.
There's going to be a lot of people wearing Chad Ochocinco jerseys around us, I would imagine, as we root on the local 53.
It's going to be cool, man. I like visiting other stadiums just to remind myself of what's possible.
You know what?
You know what I mean? Like,
when I was on the beat, I went to all but four NFL stadiums. Now, a couple have opened since then, so I probably have to add them to the list and do some recalibrating. Cincinnati was one of the four stadiums I never went to. So this is big, actually.
Oh, this is big league for you.
I will be checking one off of the list. I did not go to Foxborough the way it worked out, weirdly.
That's so weird you didn't go there.
Didn't ever go to Houston, where the Texans play at Reliant Stadium. And they've had a bunch of Super Bowls and events and stuff, but I've never been there. The Bengals was one, and I have not been to the new Atlanta Stadium, the new Minnesota Stadium, so it's at least five now, maybe one or two others, but I'm super excited. I'm actually closer to finishing the ring, so to speak, on the NFL stadiums than I am ballparks, where I have like seven more ballparks to get to.
That's a quarter of the way done, right, with some of the old school ones. I guess if they keep making new stadiums, it'll be harder for you, but yeah, that's pretty neat.
So we'll be there Monday night. If you're going to the game, let us know. We want to try to do a little tweet up, a little meet up with people before we go into the stadium out and about in Cincinnati. But should let you guys know, we were just talking about the passing numbers being down around the NFL. So before we get into some of Washington's stars struggling, here are some of the hard and fast numbers, Danny, through a couple of games that I think are most prevalent. Passing touchdowns through 2 weeks. By year, starting in 2019, 105. Passing touchdowns through 2 weeks in 2020, 110. 2021, 110. 2022, 105. Pretty much exactly the same for 4 years. Last year, 86. You go, huh, that's weird. What happened? This year, 66. That was prior to Monday Night Football. Kirk had a couple. I don't think Jalen Hurts threw for one.
No, Barkley got tackled at the one-inch line, and then he plunged in the next play.
So
he had one to Devontae Smith. He had one to Devontae Smith.
Okay, back so in the end zone. 69.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. So still, though, the average for a four-year span was a little over 105. The last 2 years, it's been 86 and 69. If you're looking at passing yards per game, per team, through 2 weeks of football, in 2015, it was 240. The next year, 258, 2017, 221. Then more recently here from 2018 on, 250, 249, 249, 249. By the way, the consistency there is crazy. Right around 250 yards. 2022 down to 228, 2023 down to 217. This year, passing yards per game per team for 2 weeks, 193.2. So we have gone from 250 consistently for years through about 2022 to now 193 this year. I mean, these numbers are just hard to ignore. So you've got your touchdown category, your yardage category. If you look at Sack percentage, I think, is interesting. 7.8% sack rate through 2 weeks, Danny. The highest for the start of the NFL season in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks are getting sacked at a higher rate than they have in 25 years.
But it's not leading to more production. You would think that usually correlates with, okay, there's more downfield shots, there's more big plays, and there aren't.
And also you would think that maybe after a sack, you're going to pass on the next down because now you need 18 or 20 yards, so at least you get some underneath stuff. It's not adding up. 2020, 5.8% sacks. 2021, 6% of plays. 2022, 6.3%. Last year, 7%. This year, 8% of plays have been sacks. The highest, again, in a quarter century. What's going on here?
There's a number of things. You go back a handful of years, not even, I'm not talking about 10 years, but like a few years, and a third of the league, basically half the guys that started every game for their team, and they're only playing 16 games, by the way, threw for at least 30 touchdowns. That was the normal. You look at league leaders, guys like Aaron Rodgers for 48, Pat Mahomes in the upper 40s, etc. Last year, four guys did it with an extra game, threw for 30 touchdowns. I'm not talking about something crazy, like a 50-touchdown season or something, but just for 30. Passing is now, because it was so essential to be great at it, that's now what defenses are designed to stop. So I see tweets from really smart guys. I've been fascinated with this topic. So guys like Benjamin Solak, who have broken down a bunch of different film, have offered a few ideas to this.
Have you seen anything yet on the percentage of passes as opposed to runs and whether that's changing? Because I get the sense watching the games that teams are running more than they're passing. Not meaning over 50% of the time, but like even compared to 3 years ago, that teams are calling more run plays. So obviously yards and touchdowns will be down throwing the ball if you're running it more. But yeah. I don't have numbers to back that
up. So just sort of abstract. It felt like it was 65-35 before. Now it's much closer to 50-50. It's not 50-50,
exactly.
But it's closer. So I think you're 100% right.
So
there.
The question then could be why, and I think it all comes back to how defenses are playing.
This is the essential ingredient to me. So I think because 11 personnel, three receiver looks became the norm, nickel cornerbacks became the norm. The base defense of three linebackers is gone. Now it's smaller players. So where's the weakness? Making that Mikey Sanders still, making that 180-pound cornerback that's lined up not too far from the line of scrimmage, make him play in the run game. That's where your advantage is. For years, the advantage was my tight end on your whatever. My third receiver is better than your third corner. Or I can line my number one receiver up in a stack formation and have him beat your second or third best corner. Now, because of the prevalence of zone, keeping everybody back, have everything be in front of you, passing yards are down for multiple reasons. One, there aren't as many deep shots, aren't as many intermediate to deep shots. The reasons for that, one, defenses are taking it away. Two, nobody wants to get the quarterback hit. Three, I don't know that offensive line play without all the preseason and cohesion and all the turnover is as good.
You just said preseason. I want to mention that in a little more detail. To me, the two major areas are how defenses are playing, which you were just referencing and we can continue to talk about, and also the lack of preseason. I don't think a lack of preseason makes it harder to get your running game going. I think a lack of preseason, though, makes it harder for the timing in the passing game. And this is not my own opinion. This is something coaches have told me. This is something players have told me. But what do you always hear about? You hear about timing, mm-hmm. right? Especially in pass pro. We were talking with Austin Eckler yesterday, getting on the same page with the guy next to you or everybody's assignment being known and the guard and the tackle and the center being on the same page. That comes with time and reps and game reps, frankly. So I think pass protection is hindered by a lack of preseason. I think the passing game in general with the timing with your receiver, knowing how guys are going to break in, break out, when they like to stem and cut things off and throttle it down and sit in a zone, all those types of things, I think, Danny, mm-hmm. are affected by the preseason. Player movement makes it necessary that you have these guys making plays in the preseason, and teams have kind of opted against it. I think that's a big part of it, to be honest with you. And that part can be fixed in a month.
I think
in 2 months.
Yeah.
Maybe not if defenses are still playing you the same way, maybe it's not going to come all the way back. But that part of it is a right now problem, not a sustainable all year problem.
So then, you would see some growth as the season progresses, but it's not getting back to 2021 levels, for example. I think another contributing factor, central pass rush. It used to be, where are your pass rushers on the outside? Interior guys, defensive tackles, are smart cars. They're Gilbert Brown. You occupy as many blockers as possible. It's Lawrence Taylor. It's J.J. Watt off the edge. Now, that's not now the second, but Aaron Donald for so many years. And then, the Dexter Lawrences, the Leonard Williamses, the interior defensive linemen, sometimes in a 34, sometimes in a 43. the shortest distance to get to the quarterback to interrupt these passing games is straight ahead.
That's true. Like 10 years ago, I'm not saying there were no great defensive tackles, but heck, 5 years ago, I would say that when you thought defensive tackle, run stuffing, beefy, yeah, block attracting, you know, smart car, basically, mm-hmm, right? Now, guys are pass rushers. And if you're not, you're not getting drafted early. So like when Daron Payne was taken in the top 15, the big question was, is this guy going to be able to rush the quarterback? Or is he more of a run-stuffing type? I think a lot of guys at that position now are the best pass rushers on their team.
Yeah.
To your point.
And you, because that was the weak link of the offensive line. The left tackle is making $20 million. Well, the left guard is fourth round Freddie, who's, you know, fits the scheme and is probably Corey Lichtensteiger, wherever Mike Shanahan goes. That's the weak link in terms of pass pro. So it's a live chess match where defenses for years got tired of being on highlight reels and said, okay, fine, here's what we're taking away. And I think it really what ushered in this new era, quite frankly, is Pat Mahomes and that Kansas City offense. What teams realized was if you try to play them straight up, you can blitz them, you can do anything under the sun, they're going to kill you. They're going to punch you in the gut until they get that big play, and then that's the game. Then you lose. So they said never, ever over the top. They are permanently, to borrow baseball parlance, in no doubles defense, which means nothing over your head. Everything is going to be in front, in front, in front, in front, in front. You combine that with lighter boxes, easier run looks, and you're seeing prolific run totals through a couple of weeks for multiple teams. Think of Green Bay. They threw 14 passes and won a football game, handing the ball off to Josh Jacobs 32 times. That's unheard of in our recent era, but that's the best way to do it because of the way defenses are.
So speaking of Green Bay, what about this? All right, Malik Willis started that game for the Packers. Malik Willis completed 12 passes in that win. I haven't looked at his spray chart, but I'd be willing to bet a lot of them were at or around the line of scrimmage, right?
Yep.
Is there something to what is an obvious philosophical shift in the NFL to the more athletic quarterback? I wouldn't call it the running quarterback because there's only a few guys that run a lot. But as an example, right now, there are two games. There are four quarterbacks in the NFL that have over 20 rushing attempts. Like, on their way to 170 attempts, mm-hmm, I don't think it's going to happen that way. Frankly, all four won't stay healthy. But Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, Lamar Jackson have all run the ball more than some starting running backs through two games this season. But in the league 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you just didn't see quarterbacks running as much. And what I think teams have figured out is you don't want a statue in the pocket. Mm-hmm. You don't want some flat-footed dude who's just a thrower of the football. You want a dual threat. You want an athlete. Everybody's trying to find two-time, you know, MVP Lamar Jackson, or maybe even if it's more Josh Allen, let's say, but someone who can do both. Like, I even, after those guys that run all the time, Allen, Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray, Anthony Richardson. It seems to me like we are at a point as we've gone toward the athletic quarterback, a guy like Bo Nix or Zach Wilson coming out. One of the reasons they get overdrafted a little bit or people like them more is because they can run.
Mm-hmm.
They can scramble. They can elude the pocket. It used to be like, who is that guy? Ryan Mallett.
Yep.
He's no longer with us, right? Am I right about that, tragically? I hope I am. I don't know. I'll look that up. But like that guy, as an example, you know, those big, like 6'7", 275
statues
pounds
with a cannon.
Yeah, exactly. That's gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't be drafted now if you just have, like, remember Zach Mettenberger? I was a big fan of at LSU.
Yeah.
Immobile. That is a endangered species. But I think there's something too, like, can you have your cake and eat it too? If we're going with the quarterbacks that are going to run more, doesn't that naturally mean passing numbers are going to come down too? And a quarter of the league, if you think about it, if you're talking about Daniels, Hurts, Fields, Allen maybe is on that list, or Daniel Jones, a little less design carry stuff for him, Kyler Murray, Anthony Richardson, or is like that type of quarterback that is more of a playmaker with their feet too. Is there something to that, do you think?
100%. Again, this is not a one-size-fits-all solution as to why it's happening. We know it's happened, right? The numbers are the numbers, as you said them.
Although I will say, I'm just thinking about this now with young quarterbacks. We're saying you can't be a straight pocket passer. There ain't a pocket passer, really, more so, like, by definition, than C.J. Stroud. right now. I mean, you know what I mean? He's an athlete. He can move around, but he basically, you know where he's going to be all the time. I think he's got 4 rushing attempts through 2 games. That's about where he's going
to
be.
Yeah, he scrambles to throw.
And he is right now, outside of Patrick Mahomes, like the number 2 guy that you would start an organization with at the position. So maybe if you're special enough, it'll work. But I think largely everybody's looking for...
It's the easy button.
The guy who can run.
Right, yeah. You look like a genius when you're still able to move the ball despite your offense not working. See week 1 for Washington, right? The offense did not work. And yet, they were in the football game through 3 quarters because Jaden Daniels had 80-some yards scrambling, right? So I think that's a contributing factor. I mean, to me, there's a whole bunch of trends that have kind of culminated in this where passing is down. And it doesn't mean that you stop passing altogether. It just means that we need to adjust to the idea that the league is different than it was just a couple of years ago. This trend is like a violent regression or pendulum swing in the opposite direction, whereas a handful of seasons ago, if you looked at, I can't remember, I'm just making up years, 2019 numbers versus 2010 numbers, you'd go, oh my God. And then you go back to the 80s where I'm going, dude, Joe Montana's the best I ever saw. And you're like, he had 3,600 yards and 24 touchdowns.
Yeah.
What's exceptional about that? It's just a different time.
So it reminds
we're now
me,
in one.
Like, people look at batting averages in baseball with this disdain. And they don't think about the fact that in this era, nobody hits for average. So C.J. Abrams, let's just say, if he were to hit 244 at the end of the year, someone would look at that and go, oh my God, Abrams, he can't hit. He hit 244. That's 3 points above league batting average. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's an above average batting average because the league hits 241. Well, 30 years ago, the league probably hit 273. So yeah, that was 30 points below that. That's the equivalent now of 210. And so my point is you do have to calibrate for that. The problem I have a little bit is it's a chicken or the egg thing to some extent. Like some of the teams where passing is down, they're down by design. In other words, the Commanders, just as an example, through 2 games, while they've thrown it okay, I'm not suggesting they haven't done enough through the air in terms of yardage, that they're doing it for top half the league production, believe it or not. But if you go into a game going, we're going to run the ball, we're going to design 7 runs for Daniels, he's going to scramble another 4 times or whatever, you're setting yourself up not to go out and throw for 250 or 300. Like the Dolphins last year didn't have much of a problem. They threw for 4,700 yards. The Lions, with Jared Goff, and they don't have Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle walking through that door, 4,600 passing yards last year. Dak threw for 4,500. The teams that major in it still have that club in the bag. Tua's not leaving the pocket and running. Jared Goff, anytime soon, ain't beating anybody with his feet. Dak Prescott, it's kind of, you know where he's going to be. He's standing there delivering the football. And I think that's still, if you want to do it, there's still a way to do it. I just think more teams are going, doesn't have to be that way. There's another way to do it.
And I would add one more data point for me. And this, again, is harder to prove. But I think we've now, where the latest innovations have happened, and it's harder for us to see because it's, you know, not, you're not getting some of the passing yardage with it, is the sophistication of some of these running games. For years, it was the Shanahan tree, and it was this great mystery as to how to do it. Well, then that kind of spread. You see a lot of these same stretch plays and zone looks and some of the blocking techniques and things that have translated to really, really good running backs. It used to be this urban legend. Like, it was Ryan Terrain or Orlandis Gary or whoever. Mike Shanahan's going to have a run for 1,000 yards. Well, look what you mentioned, Miami. Look what they do, for God's sakes. I mean, Devin Achane runs for 9 yards a carry last year. And Raheem Mostert, who nobody wanted, was running for over 1,000 yards. Whoever they plug and play runs into clear amounts of space. How sophisticated they are because of the threat of motion, the threat of some of those play action looks to Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle. Mike McDaniel's an offensive genius, not because he gets his playmakers who are really fast the ball in space, but because these running games are gouging people. We're better now at running the football, especially against these light boxes and looks that are designed to prevent passing, and you're seeing more of it.
Well, look at the Chiefs. To me, the Chiefs are the whole point. This all started with the Chiefs, right?
Right.
As we referenced. Mm-hmm. But it was a few years ago when everyone decided, okay, Patrick Mahomes has thrown for 50 touchdowns and 41 touchdowns to lead the NFL. Over the last few years, he just threw for 5,200 yards. It was his second 5,000 yard season. What are we going to do with this team? And basically, they said it's going to get a lot harder. You're not going to get 30, 40, and 50 at a time. You're going to have to go on these 10 to 12 play drives we talked about. So last year, Patrick Mahomes threw for 1,067 fewer yards than 1 year earlier. Now, he played in 1 fewer game. So if you take his game average of 220 yards, it was like an 800-yard difference for him
yep.
from 2022 to 2023. His touchdowns went from 41 to 27. So basically, again, with the average, you could say 11 fewer touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes last year to go along with 800 fewer yards. It was a lot more Isaiah Pacheco.
Yep.
It's a physical, run-the-ball, kind of different-looking Chiefs team. Now, they also went from 14 wins to 10 wins, which is not lost on me, right? But they played a style that, for them, they felt like they had to move the ball. And it worked pretty well for defenses, for the record. Instead of giving up the home runs and the doubles and the triples, the singles, with some penalties, with the fumble, with the pick, they did a better job to the tune of winning more games against Kansas City and them being a little less prolific. So it's all part of it. There's no doubt in my mind. But at the risk of making too big about 2 weeks, I think it is last year and this year. Last year, not to this extent, but it's basically a year now and a couple of weeks of seeing traction in this regard. 11 of Mahomes' 18 completions, 61%, were behind the line of scrimmage this past week in their game in week two. 11 of 18. You know, that's kind of what we're talking about with Daniels.
Uh-huh.
129 of 151 passing yards, 85%, were from yards after the catch. I mean, they're doing kind of the same thing Cliff Kingsbury's doing with Andy Reid in Kansas City right now. The question for you guys is, why do you think this is happening? And do you think this will sustain all year, or is this just a couple of weeks start to the season that we'll forget about a couple months down the road, with passing being so much harder to come by and the numbers being suppressed? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know what song this is. Clary, what do you got here? It's like very, poppy.
Yeah, this wasn't my best song choice.
No, we're fine. What is it? I just want to know what it is.
Heathens?
Is this the Pilots,
maybe?
I was going to say Chainsmokers. It sounds like something that
they do.
Is
this one of the ones you've requested in the past?
Never once, no.
Okay.
That's not on my request list.
You don't think so?
Whatever this is not for me.
I do know Darius did add some music to the page here, so I'm going to throw Darius in the bus.
I was going to say,
this is a Darius.
Why does it sound like a bus is backing up on the guy that isn't here today?
I know. Sorry, Darius.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on The Fan. Coming up in a half hour at 4 o'clock, we are giving away those tickets we told you about to HF Festival. There's going to be an awesome show at Nats Park this weekend. And you can go. We got those tickets for you. Also, at 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to be giving away tickets to the Caps 50 Fest to celebrate 50 years of Capitals hockey. A lot of players are there. And a pretty cool performance as well from Third Eye Blind. So make sure you are listening at 6 if you want those tickets. here on Grant and Danny. We've been diving into the trend in the NFL through 2 weeks that passing yards and touchdowns are way, way down. Passing production is declining, and it seems like rushing production is excelling here over these first couple of weeks. Here's a Warren Sharp stat that's pretty amazing. This was from the summer that I was just sent by somebody on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson for me, at Funny Danny for DR. Average length of Patrick Mahomes' touchdown passes. 2019, 17.3 air yards. 2020, 13.0 air yards. 2021, 8.5 air yards.
Seems to be going down.
2022, 4.5 air yards. And then he didn't give the number in 2023. But he said last year Mahomes threw 41 touchdowns. Only one traveled more than 19 yards. So it's kind of showing you that the league decided not anymore, man.
Not the way you like to do it.
you're still going to do it,
but it's going to be the unfun way.
Do it your own way, maybe. Occasionally, and you're going to turn the ball over a bunch, or you could do it our way and still do it. It's just going to take a lot more work.
And that seems to be, I mean, listen, you're still going to get beat at times. I mean, they won the damn Super Bowl, so it's not as if it was foolproof, but it is more effective. The point is you're going to get beaten. How would you like to do it?
I'm not making it easy on you. To be less fun of a watch around the league.
To a degree, yes.
For me, it's way less fun. I don't think it's a mystery to people. Your boy likes throwing the football. That's kind of always been what I prefer, what I like. And for a long time, that's how you won. We'll see if that's the case this year or not as the numbers kind of bear out. But it's not like I don't like watching running the football. It's fine. It can just lead to messier, uglier games when everyone's got to go on these 13 to 15 play drives. Scoring's going to be down, though, because as we found out this weekend for the 1,000,000th time, points do not come from the running game. You can run for 200-plus yards if you want to, Washington, Green Bay. Points come from the passing game and explosives in the big plays. That's why defenses are doing this. Let's go to Lance, who's in Annapolis on G&D. Hey, Lance, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Good. So, yeah, I think that the trend is going to continue just like everything else where, you have your, it was running game back in the day and then, of course, turn it to a passing game. But I think that a lot of this, too, is the offensive coordinators trying to take advantage of the defenses that probably been drafted more or less like the speedy type of lighter type of linebackers. So I love like what the Commanders are doing when they run that pistol. And you got a bulldog like Brian Roberts, and then you got the other threat with Jaden Daniels, but you have the field spread out. And it just seems like it gives those guys a lot of room to run. So I think the trend will continue. Plus, it's the second week of the season. I think a lot of the offenses are trying to get their feet underneath them.
Appreciate you, dude. You sleep on former Danny Ruggier teammate, opponent, and Oriole, Brian Roberts, also in Washington's backfield.
I need to hear more about teammate. I've never heard about that. I just know you played him at South Carolina.
Yeah, very, very briefly. He was there for a game in Waynesboro.
Seriously?
During the summer league, yeah.
Would he remember that?
No, not at all.
But he'd remember being on the Waynesboro team.
No. I mean, well, maybe. What? I mean, played for like some real teams along the line.
I would think, though, it's like, hey, didn't you play on that team when you were in college? Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you might remember like Chad Tracy or some of the other like big leaguers that were on that team.
I was at his pro debut, his big league debut, I should say, with the Orioles, a multi-hit game, one of my favorite second basemen. But yeah, I mean, look, the Commanders are well built for this. There's no doubt. If this is the trend, when you've got a run based on having a quarterback that can run, they're going to be a really good running offense. Because you add his numbers to the equation, you see what the Ravens and the Commanders with Griffin years ago and all these teams have done. That all accounts for rushing. Now, even if you take that away with just their running backs, it's going to be really effective. Because you're going 11-on-11 hat on a hat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're well positioned. Now you got to hit on some of those Aldrick Robinson home runs if you can. If they're going to take that away, Zach Ertz should feast. And he should live in the middle of the field. Those throws should be there. Let's go to John, who's on the Beltway on G&D. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. I was just wondering whether anybody had given any thought to the fact that we're down to 3 preseason games, and most of the time the number one players weren't playing. And so now we come into the first 2 weeks of the season, and it's almost like the first game was the extra exhibition game that normally we might have some first-line players playing. But then it seems to me that that's got to have some significant effect on how these offenses are working out.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Yeah, and you may have jumped in kind of midway through our convo. But yeah, it was brought up last segment. I think the number one reason for what we're seeing, to succinctly kind of recap what we had said, is the way defenses are playing offenses. And you're taking what's given to you and what is easier to you. That's number one. Number two, to me, is the lack of preseason, which I think is a mismanagement by these teams. And it's a mistake that they are making. But the Bengals, think about how much better they looked in week two than week one.
Uh-huh.
They essentially took the preseason off as a team. You know, guys like Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, they didn't show up. They didn't practice. And I'm talking about in camp, period. But the preseason was a non-starter. The Falcons basically said, preseason, who needs that? They got beat and looked terrible in week one. Week two, they looked way, 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 way better and won the football game. They cost themselves a win probably against Pittsburgh. You think they might need that as a semi-middling team in a division where there's two teams that are 2-0? I think that was a terrible decision by them to not play their quarterback or a lot of their best players in the preseason at all. Washington didn't play John Allen and Daron Payne in the preseason for one snap, or Wagner for that matter, among others. I haven't noticed John Allen without having to go back to watch the All-22 once in real time in two games. Payne has had two nice rushes that have led to sacks. But John Allen's been library quiet. Daron Payne's been pretty much whisper quiet. Would they have been better off with preseason action? I don't know. But I don't think it would be worse necessarily. I think they're probably still getting into game shape in some way, kind of getting their bearings down, their traction down. So yeah, I definitely think the preseason is a huge part of my theory.
So it's less mine, but I do think it's a factor. I think there's a million ingredients in this.
Is that in any way? I mean, you're pro not playing in the preseason anyway. So in the same way, when I look at things, like I'm looking through the lens of my prior, is that any part of it yours?
So I'm obviously trying to be honest about that. I'm trying to figure that out. I mean, to me, this is more about paradigm, and we're running it more than we're throwing it, which is less about preseason activity or otherwise, or being precise. I don't think imprecision or bad timing is contributing to watered down passing. I think
you don't think that passing offenses aren't are just not as sharp.
I think it's I think it's a factor, but I don't think it's in anywhere near as big as maybe 10 others.
Okay,
because I think defenses are going, you're not doing this, and no amount of practice is going to let you do it. Like 3 years ago, there were 7 running backs that ran for 1,000 yards. Last year, there were 14. The year before that, there were 16. Like, that's the trend. We're running it now. Like, you and I are kind of, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm just sort of now waking up to this. I'm going, hey, wait a minute. This is a trend. This isn't just some mirage. This is real. Everybody took this is how we'll stop Pat Mahomes defense, and we're doing it for everybody.
Right.
So now passing numbers are down across the board, not just in week 1 and 2, because nobody plays in the preseason.
But the Chiefs play in the preseason, and Mahomes plays in the preseason, and they get off to the fast starts offensively throwing the football. And, you know, they are the team that seems to be still putting up really good numbers. The Lions, similarly, with Jared Goff, like, he doesn't have to play in the preseason. He's been with the same coordinator and the same offense year after year. It's interesting to me that some of those teams do the best jobs early. Let's go to Kevin, who's in Arlington on G&D. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. So, wonderful discussion. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I do think the preseason inactivity, I'll just call it, is certainly a contributing factor. But if you were to ask me, well, and the thing is, I think there's a multiplicity of factors, like not even just 2 or 3. It's probably more like 10 or 12. And combined, you're seeing a sea change in how the game is being played. But let me just cite a couple that I spotted in some research I've been doing on this. Here's one I think that's really important. College isn't a good training ground for offensive linemen anymore. College offenses are spread happy. They're fast. They don't need the in-ground grit, you know, you see with running the ball. There's just all these offensive line deficiencies where pass blocking is so much harder than run blocking. It's not a sexy position. You know, we're in an age of NIL and portal and, you know, athletic guys, because increasingly the linemen aren't as big as they were. They're much more mobile. You know, it's almost like O-line is one of the last positions of resort. Some people say playing O-line is almost as difficult, but not as difficult, of course, as quarterback. I really think it's with what's happening in the O-line, the lack of practice, the lack of tackling, the inability to hold the line together, injury. I mean, I go on and on. The O-line play just is not up to snuff.
I think it's a great point.
Yeah.
I think the college observation you made, Kev, is really smart. O-line play in the NFL is not particularly good, but in college, you could say that to an even greater extent. And I would go back to the idea of how many traditional drop-back passing games do you really see in college anymore? It's so rare to me.
Yeah, like I guess you'd call Michigan that with under Harbaugh.
Yeah.
But it's like there's a handful where they go, this is truly a pro style. Exactly. Everybody else is spread,
it's
air raid,
spread
sideways.
And yeah. 11, and the yeah. Sunday game's looking more like the Saturday game, but it's a lot of running the football at the quarterback position, you know, and all that. And I don't think it can be possible that we could be majoring in all of that without losing anything in the passing. Does that make sense? Like, you can't do both on one play.
Totally. Yeah.
So I think that's part of the factor as well. This was just sent to me again at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. Brian Robinson had 17 runs against the Giants, 14 of them, 82%, came against six or fewer defenders in the box. So the Giants, because Cliff Kingsbury is spreading you out with 11 personnel at least, you know, three receivers at times, they've got receivers all over the formation. Brian Robinson's getting these looks against six-man fronts where if Jaden Daniels is as smart as we know he is, and he did this a few times, RPOs, you could pull it and throw it out wide, but he's going to go, let me check to this run real quick because I got this light box. And against men in the box, six or fewer, 14 for 88 for Brian Robinson.
There you go.
Now, interestingly, he had 45 yards on three carries with seven or more, but that was a 40-yard carry.
You remember that everyone's piled up and he bounced?
Right, yeah. So it was like 2.5 a pop before the one he would have been tackled for a two-yard gain for a first down. So it would have been like, you know, three carries for 6 yards or whatever. But I think that's pretty telling and instructive, specific to what we watched for Washington this week. But it's a good conversation. It's something we'll keep revisiting as we go on this year. Double Play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. And then we're blitzing at the top of the hour in about 15 minutes when we are giving away those tickets to the HF Festival on Grant and Danny. Welcome back to Grant and Danny. We're live on The Fan all over D.C., 106.7, and in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1. You can watch the show on our 106.7 The Fan YouTube channel. We're streaming live each and every day. So what's up, chat? Thank you for being a part of this program. However you're checking us out, Odyssey app, wherever you go, take it with you. Make sure it is downloaded. A lot of ways to listen to the program. It's time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Danny, stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Before we left yesterday, GP, you said, what are you up to tonight? All right? And I told you I was playing some pickup basketball. And you said, predict the stat line. So I did. I was joking around and I kind of, you know, gave a mock one, but actually thought to myself, why don't I try to remember this? Why don't I chronicle it? So I did. In between, we played four games last night from 8 to 10, which is a lot of running for
full court, half court.
Full court. So it's in elementary school, so it's not your big full distance, and it was 4-on-4.
You play to 11?
Yeah. Okay. So it's not one of them things where it's like a full real high school court with like space between the 3-point line and out of bounds line. There's some grace allowed there. But 4-on-4. And so it's not the full, you know, as I said, it's not the full, I'm still exhausted though, sore, tired, et cetera. So I kept track if you want some of the numbers from last night.
I would love them.
So what I do in between the games, as I'm getting water, drying my face off with my microfiber towel, I put in my phone just to say, I'm pretty sure I got these right. So I'm going to do my best. First game was a scuffle.
Okay.
2 out of 9.
From the
field. Yeah. 0 3-balls.
Oh,
all right. These are bricks. I was off. It was terrible. You know, after one, I missed badly. One of my teammates was like, it's okay, keep shooting. I'm like, I don't know if I should do that at this point. Just not feeling good. I made 2 breakaway layups, like one off of steel and one where a teammate found me. I missed another bunny, like not shooting well. I'm like, all right, let's get everyone else involved. Let's figure it out. So very bad shooting start. Really worried it was going to be the entire night. Game 2, for whatever reason, saved the evening.
Okay.
I'm not kidding you. I'm not just saying this to hype myself up. All right. Yeah. So it's me and some other guys in our 40s and early 50s playing some pickup basketball, whatever. 7 out of 8.
Okay.
4 threes.
Okay.
In the second game, I scored all 11 points for the team. So we win. We go to 11. I had 11. The other team had less than 11.
All 11.
I had all 11.
How good was this team?
We won the game. I mean, we won. We were pretty good. Yeah. I got hot. I got a little scorching. So now, one terrible game, one really, really good game. Obviously, go 7 for 8. That's pretty good. Game 3 got started to get a little tired. 4 out of 9, hit a couple twos, aka threes, 3-balls, right? And the third game ended up with the game winner, but was 5 for 11, missed a couple chances to win it, but ended up sinking one to knock it down. Overall in the night, 18 out of 37, rough approximate. Decent shooting night, 48%.
We'll take it.
But that first game was tough. Yeah. But the second game made up for it. So that's what I did last night.
It's so funny. I just you've got your own stats from your pickup basketball.
Yeah, now I don't know like assists. There's so many turnovers in there, like passes where I'm like, shoot, man, okay. I almost, but like, you know.
Is there a website where we can track your numbers?
No, I don't think we're posting it up.
You're not doing
that. No, week one, I was atrocious.
When does the All-22, all the All-10 come out so I can watch it?
I should do some video. I should like just put my phone up and like get a possession or two and share it with the group. I'll do that next time. Actually, I have to ask all these guys if they consent to having it shared. They may not want it. There's a lot of elbow pads and a lot of...
Isn't it just sweaty old guys?
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly... So if this group, and I'm joking around, I'm one of the two or three oldest guys that are there. Mostly upper 30s and right around 40 for this group. But all former ball players, all pretty decent.
I think shooting close to 50%, knocking down some threes, having a game where you scored every point.
Yeah.
I'd feel really good about that night.
I honestly feel pretty good because that second game happened. I mean, that was, if I'm being honest, really impressive.
Oh, no.
I'm fired up.
I'm kidding. But it was really impressive.
Are you?
No, I mean, it was really impressive. It was. Yeah. I mean, I got hot and was,
lit it up.
Like, even if I wanted to touch the rim, I couldn't. You know what I mean? That was just bottoms. Sorry. Throwing them up there.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Coming your way as the show continues. Top of the hour, we're giving away tickets to the HF Festival ahead of the Beltway Blitz. At 5 o'clock today, we are tackling the NFC East. So make sure you're listening at that time for the latest from the Cowboys, Giants, Eagles. We'll look ahead to week 3 in the NFL. And at 6 o'clock tonight, we got the Caps 50 Fest tickets for you. That's the Third Eye Blind show with all the current and former Capitals showing up to celebrate 50 years of Capitals hockey. Everybody in town who likes hockey is going to try to get there. We've got tickets exclusively all week long on Grant and Daniel. We'll give two away at 6 o'clock tonight. You're listening to The Fan.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.